how we're saved establishes the pattern of how we are to live, and that is by grace and faith. It's so easy to be charmed away to think you have to do something for our God. So let's present ourselves to the Spirit by faith, that He can open our eyes, cause us to see what's going on in the text. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to open up the Scriptures and allow the Spirit to reveal to us what is being said. Father, we desire to live each day as a day that will be honoring and glorifying to Your Son, that will perfect us in His image, that will fulfill Your plan for our lives, that will be pleasing to You. And Father, we're becoming more and more aware of the fact there's just no way we can do that. There's no way we can even really know how to do that without the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to guide us. It's what sets us apart from all the religions of the world. It's not just a way of living. It's the power source that You have given to us. Father, we pray that You'll protect us from the powers of darkness that would seek to clog up our thinking, that we not see these things. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, verse 17. Now remember where we're coming off of. Verse 16. In verse 16, Paul says, Peter, this is how you and I did it. You and I were justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law is no one justified. We ourselves have trusted in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith and not by the works of the law. And now he's going to take in verses 17 and 18, he's going to go to the argument from the standpoint of what Peter has done. And remember, what Peter has done is the problem of the church. And that is saved by grace and faith and then try to live by law. And when I say law, as we saw last night in Isaiah, by something that I do, something that I say, some performance of mine other than just trusting Him. Now we move, continue in verse 17 now. This is what happens, verse 17, when a saved person, saved by grace and faith, then tries to live the Christian life by law. And if you do this, what we're seeing is you make Jesus Christ a minister of sin. And so let's just follow the passage and take it up. But now, what Paul here, he's just declared that Peter and himself have been justified by faith in Christ. But Peter is now saying that we have to be justified as believers by works of the law. So Paul continues with the pattern of teaching. And so let's see what he says. Here he says, how saved, this is how we're going to live. If you don't, this is what happens. But if while seeking to be justified in Christ. Okay, if I'm seeking to be justified in Christ, verse 16, but I'm found to be a sinner, we ourselves have also been found sinners. Okay, now what we're looking at here so that you'll see what's going on, I want to take this in two ways so that whichever way you want to look at it, because some people will interpret the verse dealing with believers. Some people interpret the verse dealing with unbelievers. Both are perfect. Either way, the pattern fits. So I'll show you that in dealing with the verse. So let's take a look at it. But if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners. I want to deal with this first, looking at it as an unbeliever, and then I want to look at it as a believer. So let's take it first of all as an unbeliever. But if we, and that is as unbelievers, seeking to be justified in Christ, now, we did that by faith, have also been found sinners. Now, what this means is found by what? Found by the law. Paul was accused of, by the legalists, by the law people, saying that Paul really made men sinners by abandoning the law. Remember that. That's very important. Now, the law is designed to bring about sin, increase sin, not eliminate sin, but bring about sin. So here we claim that we're justified by faith in Christ. Then what happens is we're saying we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. The law comes along, some proponent of the law, and says, no, you're not justified. You are still a sinner. Now, sinner is a technical word here, used in a technical way here, for one who is not justified. It's used as for one who is not justified. I'm going to deal with it as though it refers to those who are justified, though, but still sinning. I'll come to that. Because I'll take either way that you run into somebody, oh, no, you got it all wrong. Okay, we'll look at it either way, because it works either way. All right, now, so what are they saying? They're saying is that justification by faith is not enough. That isn't going to do it. You are still found a sinner. In other words, you're not justified by this. You need to do our list. Now you have to do and do. You have to do our list, what we say you have to do. Then he says, is Christ then a minister of sin? All right, first of all, we must understand what a minister of sin is. The word is diakonos, deacon, servant, a helper of sin, causing the sin, realizing that you sin, a lot of different concepts like that. Now, how does Jesus Christ become a minister of sin? How does that happen? The best way that I can make this clear for you is to start with what is a minister of sin and then go from that. What really is a minister of sin is the law. Because what the law does, the law was given for this purpose, what the law does, the law brings about sin. The law increases sin. The law makes us aware of sin and that we are sinners, and therefore we need to look over here at Jesus Christ for our justification. Now, so what we would say then is the law is a minister of sin because it increases sin, awareness of sin. It does not justify. It tells us we're going to have to look at somewhere else. Now, if you understand that about law, let's just do what Paul is doing and put Jesus Christ here. I say I'm justified by faith in Christ. The law says, no, you're not. Somebody says, no, you're not. You're still not justified. Where does that leave me then? Where does that leave me standing here with my justification by faith in Jesus Christ? That leaves me still in need of justification, still a sinner. So all that Jesus Christ is then, Jesus Christ simply came to planet Earth to be a minister of sin, to cause us to be aware that we are sinners, not justified, and we still sin, and therefore point out our need of the law in order to be saved. So, if I'm seeking to be justified by faith, but still found to be a sinner, not justified, this makes Jesus Christ a minister of sin then, because faith in Him did not justify, I'm still a sinner, so all He is here for is to point out the sin and point me to a need. I need to do the law. I need to do law in order to be justified before God. So, realizing that I'm still a sinner, I'm still sinning, then all Jesus Christ is a minister of sin. He just causes me to be aware of the sin. Now, so does that click for you what's going on? Why he says that Christ is a minister of sin if he doesn't give us justification? Does that make sense? Hello? Okay. Now let's take a look at it from the standpoint of a believer. Let's see what happens. See what happens here. Okay, let's say. See what our verse is and see if we can understand this. Verse 17. But if while seeking to be justified in Christ. Okay, I am justified in Christ. I am justified in Christ. And what I'm doing is I'm living by the law. I am now living, let me put up here, living by the law. Now, it's very important right here. You got to understand. If you're living by law, what's going to happen? You will sin. You must always bear that in mind for the rest of Galatians. If you live by the law, you will
sin. Now, here I am in Christ, justified in Christ, but I'm still found to be a sinner. In other words, I'm still sinning. I still sin. I'm living by the law. I'm trying to be justified in a Christian life by law, but yet I'm still sinning. Does that make Christ a minister of sin? No. What is happening here is, this doesn't make Christ a minister of sin. This is the law simply doing what the law is designed to do. You've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So I put on here, by faith in Jesus Christ. Now you want to live by the law. So what Peter is here saying in this case is this. Here you are in Christ, justified. You're living by the law, and you are going to be found a sinner, still as a believer, sinning. Because people, when you try to live by the law, you will be lawless. You will sin. That is the purpose of the law. I'll show you that in Romans when we come to it in Galatians 3. That's the purpose of the law. So you will sin. So someone says, you're justified in Christ, and you're still sinning, so therefore, Jesus Christ really is a minister of sin. No, he's not. Because I'm not trying to be justified as a believer by my position in Christ. I'm trying to do it by law. I've switched. I've changed. I've gone from justification by faith and living that way to being justified as a believer by law. You're not going to be justified by the law. All the law is going to do is bring you to more sin. And so someone can now say is, Christ then is a minister of sin because you're in Christ and you're still sinning. No. I'm trying to do it in the law. Now let me just quickly show you the opposite of this so that you'll see the truth of what's going on. I am justified by faith in Jesus Christ. So now I am in Christ and I'm justified. Now if I live the same way, if I live by faith in the one that God has sent, by faith directed toward the Holy Spirit, and that's the way I'm seeking to be justified, have a righteous life, in other words, as a believer, question, as long as I'm in the Holy Spirit, will I sin? No. I'm not going to sin. But if I try to live my life by the law, I am going to sin. You have two absolutes going. If you're living by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, being justified in your life, a righteous life, by the same way that you were justified as an unbeliever by faith, then you go and try to live by the law, people, you're going to be a sinner. You're going to sin. Because that's the purpose of the law. But if you will walk and be justified, if we use that same word, have a righteous life, in other words, by faith, guess what? You're not going to sin because Christ is not a minister of sin. Your relationship with God is not a relationship with sin. What you've done, the reason that you're going to be found a sinner is because you switched over to law in order to do it. Now, let me put a parenthesis in here. What about personal sins? I've told you this before, but every now and then I'm going to have to come back to it. This book's not about personal sins. There's something more tragic than personal sins. And that's people who try to live by the law, try to be very good for God. But they're do and they're do and they're do and do. People who commit sins and live personal and in a personal sin, that's a whole other issue of what we're talking about here. We're talking about a person who is saying, I'm doing right by living by the law. My little system of do and do is what God wants you to do. That is not what God wants you to do. This is going to cause you to become a sinner. It is going to lead you to sin. And then he says, may it never be. In other words, justification by faith in Christ does not produce a sinner. It produces one who is redeemed. And the same thing is true as a born-again believer. Those redeemed by faith in Jesus Christ and then go back to the law will be to be justified as believers, to have a righteous life, they're going to be sinners. Because that's the purpose of the law. Those who are redeemed by faith in Christ, live by that faith, they were going to be justified in their life. They're going to have a righteous life that he's going to talk about in chapter 5. Now, let's move to verse 18, because it's the same principle. Only this time we're going to see what you do to yourself. Verse 17, what you did to Jesus Christ by going over to the law. What you did to Jesus Christ by going to the law, you made him a minister of sin. Now in verse 18, let's look at what you do to yourself. What do you do to yourself when you go and now try to live by law after being saved by grace and faith? Paul continues to build on the pattern. How saved is how we're to live. This is the problem of the church, and he's going to pull these together in this. Here he continues in verse 18 to take the position that if Peter is right, now you got to remember that, if Peter is right in now trying to live by law, by man doing, then look what he does to himself. Okay, verse 18. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Okay, this is a simple verse, but a simple truth in it. So let's go through it. By the way, for smoothness of clarity so that you'll see it, I just want you to know the order of the original Greek. For if I have destroyed, for if what I destroyed, I again rebuild, I'm a transgressor. And that's very important. You can see the flow better in the way Paul words it. But let's just stay with the text so we don't manipulate it in any way at this point. All right, what is it that's been destroyed and now rebuilt? Okay, what has been destroyed and what has been rebuilt? What has been destroyed is law. When was it destroyed? When I sought justification by faith. I destroyed the law. I said, law, you can't do it. So I destroyed the law. I put it aside. Now, when is this being rebuilt? This is when I destroyed it. Now, when do I rebuild? This is very simple. I don't think anyone can miss this. When do I rebuild it? When I try now to live my life by it, to be justified or a righteous life by the law. I'm bringing back what I've killed. Is that clear? Any problem in understanding that and what's going on in the passage? It really isn't that difficult. Now, when you do this, see, you've destroyed the law. Let's put it up here. You've destroyed the law. And how did you do that? You destroyed it. You divorced it. You set it aside. A lot of things we'll see this word means. You set it aside. It's null and void to you. It's dead. So why? Because you saw justification by faith. So it's destroyed. But now you go back and want to live the Christian life. You want to live it by the law. So what are you doing? You're going back and rebuilding it. You rebuild it. Now let's take a look at the word and what that makes you. That makes you a transgressor. Now comes a great question. Of what? And a lot of people are quick to say, of my relationship with Christ, justification by faith and grace. No. This word is related to law. You are a transgressor. You have revealed yourself as a transgressor of law. In other words, you should have never left it in the first place. If it's how you can be justified in your life, then you transgress by leaving it to be justified by faith. You should have never left it. That's what he's saying in this passage. So we're a transgressor of law. Now, a very simple analogy to work us through this verse and to use every now and then. Simple analogy to understand this. And I'm going to use the woman, because we are the bride of the bridegroom. So we're going to deal with the woman here. A woman is married to one man. A woman is married, so here is our woman. And this woman is married to man number one here. She's married to man number one. She divorces him. So, man number one, she divorces. She divorces this man. Then what happens? Then, what happens after she divorces him, she marries a second man. So, this woman now is married to man number two. But, she goes back. She's married to this man,
But she goes back to be with this one. She goes back to man number one. What is she revealed by going back to man number one? She's revealing, I should have never left you. That's what Paul is saying. Should have never left you. I realize now, being married to this one, the second man, really, you're the one I should have stayed with. So she's revealing something about this first man. So, let's see if we can put some of these things together for our study. We are the woman. So this is us. This is where we are. We are the woman, married to the first husband. First husband, law. First husband is law. We're married to law. Slaves to law and sin. As long as we remain married, we're enslaved, condemned, not justified, for we can never do enough to please this first husband. We can never do enough. We can work and work and work and work, and it'll never be enough, and it'll never be right. I don't want to hear if you're married to that kind of person. But this is what happens when you're married to law. You can never do it right, and you can never do enough. Now, the gospel comes along. The gospel comes along. Ah, that's really appealing. The gospel comes along, and what we do, we destroy this first marriage, divorce. So we destroy it. It's over. I'm leaving. I'm out of here. I divorce you. So we destroy our marriage to the first husband. And we marry the second husband, the gospel, and we do this by faith. We do this by faith. So by faith and believing in the gospel, we divorce the law. We leave the law. Law, you can't do this for me. You can't justify, but the gospel can. And so we, by faith, are now united with the gospel. Then, while married and united with Jesus Christ, the gospel, united with Jesus Christ, we go right to what we've been studying since day one, the problem of the church. We go back now and we want to live with the first husband. We now go back and we want to live with the first husband. That's another way of stating the problem of the church from the first day we started our study in Galatians. What is the problem of the church? Saved by grace and faith, want to live by law. So, the problem of the church is we're married to Jesus Christ by grace and faith, and we want to live with our first husband. We want to go back and live with the law. We want to rebuild that relationship. We want to build it up. So we're going to rebuild. I want to rebuild this relationship with law. I build it back up. I bring it back. See, I left this man. This woman left this man. She's gone over here, married this other man, married to him, and she goes over here and backstreet affair. I want to rebuild this relationship. I want this one back. So what is going on here is the final point of it. By going back to the law, rebuilding what we destroyed, what we're doing then, we show that we are transgressors, really, of the first marriage. We should never have left the law. We are a transgressor of law. I'll show you that in the passage, but just follow the analogy right now. So, this is what we're transgressing. Be sure you understand, we are a transgressor of this first marriage of law. Transgressor is a legal term related to law. And this becomes important to help you see why we can see what we're trying. Somebody might want to say, oh, no, you're a transgressor of your relationship with Christ. No, what this woman is showing is, any smart man, let's just say my analogy, hey, hon, you should have never married me. This was a mistake marriage. You know, this was a rebound, this was a ricochet, this was a lot of different stuff, but we should have never married. Let's just say that he sets his emotion down and is a straight thinker. You're going back to this guy that you were married to. It's obvious, hon. You should have never left him. You may have had problems with him, but you should have never left him. You transgressed that marriage. And so this is what we're doing in this study. So we should have never left law. So if a woman goes back to her first husband, she reveals how foolish she was in ever leaving him. She is saying that she should have never left him. She is a transgressor of the first marriage. Paul is saying this. This is exactly what we do when we leave
grace and faith and want to live by law. What we're saying is that I'm a transgressor. I should have tried to been saved by the law to begin with. Now here is another way of restating the problem of the church. Saved by grace, live by the law. Now let's take a look at the passage quickly. For if I rebuild, okay, what am I going to rebuild? The law after being justified by faith in Christ as a believer. So now we can talk about the triangle in our marriage with Christ, if you want to. So we have a triangle going on. If I rebuild, go back to the law, what I once destroyed. The Greek word is interesting. The word means to loose what was once bound or fastened. It means to dissolve, abrogate. Those are all things we do to law when we are justified by faith in Christ. We do not destroy, literally, if you want to understand it, we don't destroy the law. Somebody could, you know, I know people are so picky. Oh, Paul, we can't destroy the law. Just stay with what Paul is saying. The word that is used here, the Greek word, means to loose the bondage. I've loosed the bondage. I've divorced that bondage. And now, by justification, by faith in Jesus Christ, I now am belonging to Christ. So we destroy the law. If you want to look at Matthew 5:17, I'm not going to because it's not to me the main thing in our flow, but we do not destroy the law. Matthew 5:17 is very clear on that. What we do is loosen its bondage on us, is what Paul is saying here. Now, we rebuild the law and we bring it back to live by. He says, I prove myself to be a transgressor. All right, the word prove. What does that prove mean? The word prove means to demonstrate, to present myself, to stand in this way. Now, let's say the woman goes back to the first man. What is she proving about herself? See, if you stay with what's going on, you won't be confused with, oh, well, I want to think about what she's doing to the second husband. I want to get all over. No, don't worry about him. Don't worry about him. He's okay. Let's just deal with what we're talking about. We're talking about ourselves. We're talking about this woman, and now she's gone back to the first husband. Let's say that we see her with the first husband. What does she prove? What has she demonstrated about herself? What is she presenting herself? She's presenting herself as a transgressor of that marriage. She should have never left this guy. She is a transgressor of what was destroyed and now rebuilt, the law. That's what she's a transgressor of. Not a transgressor against her second marriage. That's not Paul's point here. And you have to see that. What she is a transgressor of the first marriage. A transgressor of the law. So she proves this about herself. She goes back to be with this first person, first husband. She's showing, I should have never left this man. I'm demonstrating that right now. I'm proving that right now, whatever way you want to look at that word prove. I am demonstrating it. I am proving it. I have revealed to you, I should have never left this man. This is the man I transgressed against. I should not have left him. And that is what Paul is here saying. Okay, let's take a look now. What is a transgressor? You have the NIV? Anybody have the NIV? Okay, if you read, I want you to hear this, because the NIV is good here. The NIV in this verse, read verse 18 through for us, and let's listen to the last word in it, if you will. Galatians chapter 3, verse 18. What did he say? Did you get it? Lawbreaker. That helps us, doesn't it? If we'd had that translation, I wouldn't have had to go through so much to cause you to realize it's against that first husband. I'm a lawbreaker. How am I a lawbreaker? I'm a lawbreaker by leaving law to be justified by faith in Christ. Peter, if you're right, then you're a transgressor. You're a lawbreaker. because you should have never left the law to try to be saved. And verse 16, he's declared, we have been saved by justification by faith in Christ. Peter, you are a law breaker. So that's an excellent translation. A law breaker. Who is a law breaker? A law breaker, people, is one who tries to keep the law. And if you'll understand that in 1 John and a lot of other passages, that'll help you. A lot of times people get the idea when the Bible says lawbreaker, lawlessness, that's somebody out in the bars and honky-tonks. That's somebody out really sinning bad. No, 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 no. Just the opposite. A lawbreaker is someone living by the law. Someone who's trying to earn things from God by the law. That's a lawbreaker. Stay with the context. Stay with the what's going on in Scripture. So the word transgressor, violator of the law, one who transgresses the law. So if after seeking to be justified by faith in Christ, I go back to the law, I show that I'm a transgressor of the law by ever leaving it to be justified by faith in Christ. Does that make sense? Do y'all see what Paul is saying? That it's not that difficult of a deal. Now, another way to know that we are transgressors of that first marriage of the law, look with me at Romans 4:15. This one is important to our study. The Matthew wasn't that directly important, but this one is. So let's take a moment and look at Romans 4, verse 15. Okay. For the law brings about wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there transgression. Law breaking. Here it's called violation. It's the same word. Law breaking. If there's no law, there's no law breaking. Now, do you see why it's not a transgression of the second marriage? Question. When you and I are justified by faith in Christ and try to live by faith, is there law in that life? No. How can we be a transgressor when there isn't even a law there? So I know he's not talking about the relationship with the Lord. He's not talking about justification by faith. He's talking about, I'm a transgressor, I'm a lawbreaker of the law because I tried to be justified by justification in Christ, by faith in Christ. I should have never left law if that's the way I want to live. What Paul is really saying here is, Peter, be consistent, have integrity. If you're going to be saved by the law, or if you're going to live by the law, then that's the way you're saved. Be saved by the law, live by the law. If you're going to be justified or saved by grace and faith, then Peter, live by grace and faith. Let's stay consistent here. Don't mix it. You're not going to. So the analogy, the transgressor of the first marriage, by divorcing and going to the second husband, makes us the transgressor of the law. I should never have left law to try to be justified. I should have stayed right there. Only one of these marriages is right. Either the first one to the law or the second one to Jesus Christ. If I stay with the second marriage, people, as we have here on the board, if I stay with the second marriage, that is, I'm going to live my life by grace and faith, then I'm staying with whom I married here at the cross, who I was united with at the cross, using our marital analogy. Just be, have integrity. You know, people, this is a backhanded compliment, but people who try to be saved by law and live by law, at least they have integrity. The person who has no integrity is a person saved by grace and faith and then want to live by law, want to live by doing something. That's a total absence of integrity. Total absence. You don't have any integrity. You're saved by grace and faith and you want to live by law. You want to live by doing something for God to be restored from sin or to live your Christian life or to have a righteous life. You don't have any integrity. At least somebody says, hey, I was saved by doing and that's the way I'm going to live by doing. Well, at least you're consistent. I'll give you that. Now we got to work on your understanding of the law here. But the scoundrel is the person who's saved by grace and faith, and as we saw in one of our studies, that's the hypocrite over here and live by law. Just another way of wording that. Just another way of looking at what's going on. So what we should do is just stay with the truth of the gospel, stay with faith, stay in that momentum. So this verse makes it clear for those who will see that there is not a union of faith and law. There never will be, there never can be. Grace and law, works and faith just never are going to unite. So what we're seeing is, if you're saved by grace and faith, that's the way you want to live. Paul makes it very clear that the pattern stands. And I'm going to just keep saying that over and over. Because there are people who say, well, once you're saved, the pattern doesn't need to stand. Yes, it does. Not because I say so, but because this is the whole flow of Scripture of Galatians if we see it. If we're justified by law, then live by law. If you're justified by grace and faith, then live by grace and faith. Again, dealing with the problem of the church. Now, verses 19 to 21, Paul, in these verses, takes the other position. This is the position of truth. This is the way things should be. Verse 19, what really happened when I believed in Jesus Christ by justification by faith and died to the law? What really happened? Verse 20, this is how I am going to live. I'm going to live just how I was saved. Verse 21, why I'm going to live that way. Why I'm going to live by the way that I was saved. Okay, let's get to looking at verse 19 now. Destroying the law or the death of the law. Here's the death of the law. Verse 19, for through the law I died to the law that I might live to God. Alright? For through the law, that is by means of the law, I died to the law. Through the instrumentality of the law itself, I died to law. Dying here is like the word destroyed. So, let me just talk with you a moment and then we'll come back to the verse. See, the law is not bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is very important here. The law is not bad. The law came with glory. It's what we do when we pervert it and try to say that it was designed to give me justification. But the law is not bad because what the law does, the law says to us, not by me you're going to be justified. If you try to be justified by me, I'm going to produce sins in your life. I'm going to show you your need to go somewhere else. The law is designed to say, not by me, leave me. Die to me so that you can go to someone else. Just if I could to stay with my first our analogy, it breaks down if you want to be an absolute moralist with it, but just in the principle, the first husband actually says, leave me. I'm not your husband. Go to grace and faith. Go to Jesus Christ. This is what the law does. The law is designed. If we follow the law, what we will really do, we won't try to be justified by the law if we follow the law. What we'll do is, we'll leave the law. We will, and when I say leave, we'll die to the law. We will destroy the law. All those things we're seeing, we'll leave the law, die to the law, and go to Jesus Christ. So, let's now look back. For through the law, I died to the law. The law itself directs us to leave the law in order to be justified by faith in Christ. The law directs us to leave the law to be saved by grace and live by grace and faith. This is what is meant by dead to the law. Not bound to it. The law has never been designed for a man to be bound to it. The law actually involves the freedom of its control. So we die to the law, divorce the law, leave the rule of the law. Look at Romans 7 with me a moment. If we follow what's going on in Galatians, you can open Romans 5 through 8 and it'll just read so easily for you. Alright, Romans chapter 7. Romans 7, let's look at verse 1 through 4. Or do you not know, brethren, talking to believers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. Okay, the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. Do you know that? For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. The law does that in order that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. Okay, so the law, actually, we die to the law so that we can go to Jesus Christ. This is what is talking about. The law requires death, people. The law requires death. Who bore that death for us? Jesus Christ bore that death for us. The law requires death. Jesus Christ bore that penalty of death for us. Now, watch. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, I died with him. When Jesus Christ died, you and I died with him on the cross. So, at salvation one, when you and I put a faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, we died to the law. Therefore, people, and this is so important, you died with him. You died to the law. You died to it. Do you understand what that means? It now has no authority over you whatsoever. None. You have died to it. Staying with the principle, the first husband is 6 feet under. No authority whatsoever. Dead. Now here you are alive, living your Christian life. How are you going to live your Christian life? People, don't go back to the law. Don't go back to do and do. That has no authority over you, no power over you, because you have died to it. It is over. When Christ died, you died. So the law has no place in your life as a believer whatsoever, none. So when a believer goes to the law, goes to any kind of system of performance, any performance system, do and do system, they're digging up a dead body. Because it's dead. It has no authority over you. People trying to Christians trying to live by the law and doing good and being moral and being righteous and working hard and obeying and obeying and obeying the law, they're making love to dead. That which is dead. It has no authority, no place over us at all. Works of any kind for anything from God is dead to you. Try to receive something from God by repenting, by confessing, by being good, by being sorry, by obeying, all of those things. Make you a transgressor of it. It's dead. It has no authority over you. That, for through the law I died to the law. Why? Why? That I might live to God. Now we come to what the book is all about. I want to live to God. How am I going to live? Now, see this word live? This now takes us, Paul now jumps right into salvation 2 or living the Christian life. From here on, he's really going to leave salvation 1, even that analogy. Now we're talking about how am I going to live? How am I going to live my life? How am I going to recover from sin? How am I going to have a righteous life? How am I going to be transformed in the image of Christ? How am I going to have sinlessness? How are all these things going to take place? How am I going to live day in and day out of my life? This is what he's now going to go through. That I might live. This is a reference to our lives as saved. When Paul says here that I may live to God, means that he is going to live the same way that he was justified as an unbeliever. I'm going to live my life the same way that I entered this life. By the truth of the gospel, God does the work, and I simply believe in him. We died with Christ. Resurrected to Christ, with Christ to what? I died with Jesus Christ on the cross. I was resurrected with Christ. Let me get over here. I died with Christ on the cross, death in reference to the law. I am risen now with Christ, what? To a new life. And what is this new life? I'm going to live it the same way that I entered. This new life, not of law, but a life of grace and faith. All right, if we continue through, we're going to see this. This is how he's going to do it. God in this new life must be the pattern after the pattern of how we receive life of God, by faith. This is what he's going to deal with. Now, in these two verses, the verb for living, I want you to see this. In these two verses, the verb for living, to live, your life, day in and day out, is used 5 times. And I just want you to absorb that, because what we're whole, this whole study of Galatians is, saved by grace, live by law. When what we should do is saved by grace and live by grace and faith. Alright? I want you to note what he's going to say. In order that, and I'm going to put it on the board so that you'll just see it with your eyes. In order that, and then he says the first time, I might live, what? To God. Okay. That's the first thing. And then it says, it is no longer, so I'll just put, no longer, well, I want you to see the thinking here. No longer I who live. Well, that's interesting. First of all, in order that I might live to God, it is no longer I who lives. Paul, what's going on here? And then the third one, how's that going to be then? But Christ who lives in me. Ah, I'm beginning to see this now. But Christ who lives in me. What I now live in the flesh or in this body. Let me just put in this body so that you don't get confused with that word flesh. In this body. Because the moment we accept Christ as Savior, we stay in the same body. So, what I now live in this old body. So look at what he's doing. In order that I might live to God, but it's no longer I who am doing the living. But Jesus Christ lives in me. And what I now live, what life I'm now living in this body, and the last phrase, I live by faith. And there's the flow of how you're going to live your life, people. Right here on the board. I want to live. Living means I want to get by day, my husband, with my wife, my family, my children, my assembly, work, social life, every aspect of my being. I want to live a righteous life. I want to have spiritual love. I want to live a life that's pleasing to God. I want my life to count. Okay. I died to law in order that I might live to God. It is no longer I who live, but Jesus Christ lives in me. How's this going to happen? What I live in this body, I live by faith. That's how Jesus Christ is going to live in me, people. It's going to be by faith. He just states this as clearly as he can. And as I told you before, there are preachers who will do excellent message, teaching on this, preaching on this book, and then turn right around and tell their congregation, but what you have to do. If you want to be restored, you have to confess. You have to repent. You have to walk an aisle. You have to promise God you'll never do it again. You have to feel sorry. You have to sit aside and can't be used by God a while. Or, coming from that point to living the Christian life, now if you really want to live a Christian life and have a righteous life, you have to live by the law. You have to don't do this and don't do that and work real hard and obey the law. Obey, 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 do and do. And you're just sitting there not seeing it. We're sitting there and we're going, wait a minute. And why don't we say wait a minute? Because we're charmed, okay? We're not being absolute with what he's saying, and neither is he. But this time through Galatians, we are. We're going to see it. Because people, any way that you live your life to try to earn something from God, and if it is not by the same thing that you did to be justified, you got to tell the preacher, hey, time out. You're wrong. I don't care your reputation. I don't care how your prestige. I don't care how many TV stations you're on, how many followers you have. You're wrong. That's not how I was saved. That's not how I was justified. All I did to be justified was trust. Don't you get it? That's all I'm going to have to do to live my life. So here you have it very beautifully. The word live, 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 live. I live by faith. Now, having seen that, let's see if we can go through this rather quickly. Verse 20. So again, the issue is how I live in my life now, and I live it by faith. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. This is living the Christian life, phase 2, salvation 2 in our life. I have been crucified with Christ. First of all, this goes along with verse 19. For through the law I died to the law. I have been crucified with Christ goes along with, for through the law I died to the law. Being crucified with Christ is the basis, or it's the way that we die to the law. More importantly, and I want you to kind of get this into your mind, more importantly, the gospel kills. The gospel kills. You got to get this into your mind. It kills to law. It kills to you doing something for God. And then the gospel raises you up. The gospel raises you up then to a new life. So let's take a look and see how we see these things. It raises us up to the new gospel. So by the gospel, we are dead to law. Now we are believers, brethren. So therefore, there is no more do and do. We are dead to works. We are dead to the works of repentance, confession, sorrow, obedience, obeying God, doing all these things in order to earn something from God, in order to have God do something for us. We are dead to any system of works, any performance system. The gospel has killed us to that. The gospel has killed you to that. It has slayed you to that and has raised you up in a new life. A new life where all you do is walk by faith, trusting Him. Then He says, it is no longer I who live. I'm dead to the law. I'm dead. Boom. That's me, dead. Now, but Christ lives in me. It is not me living, but Christ. And very important, we've got to ask ourselves, how does Christ live in me? How, and this is where Paul is going to take us, how does Christ live in me? And this is going to be by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if we go to John 14, which we're in the midst of studying, Jesus Christ said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send to you another helper. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come back to you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. How does Jesus Christ live in me? By the presence and power of God the Holy Spirit coming up in our study. When we're walking by faith, we are being transformed into the image of Christ by God the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 4, verse 19. Chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you. How is Christ formed in me? Jesus Christ formed, and this is going to take some time, formed in you. All right, how is Jesus Christ formed in me? Now, having read that, look at 2 Corinthians. Go back and look at 2 Corinthians 3. Not too many pages backwards. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. They're different, but similar. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Holy Spirit. People, I'm going to be transformed into the very image of Christ. Do you think you can do that? Do you really think you can do that by obeying and doing and working hard? Don't be ludicrous. I can't do that. This is going to have to be done by God. God is going to have to do it, and God does it through the presence and power of His Spirit, whom He has sent to us. I continue now back in Galatians 3, verse 20. And you'll notice life is in italics, so it's not in the original. And what I now live in the flesh. The word now that I'm justified in Christ. See that word now? Let me just show you something about that word now dealing with the problem of the church. This is what a lot of people say. Okay. They're Christians because remember we're dealing with the church and the church means that person has been saved by grace and faith. Okay. On this side of the cross, you cannot do for God. You can't do anything. All that you can do is faith only and I'll put only and faith alone. And they're very straight on that. Now that you're a Christian, now that you're justified, now you can work. Now you can obey. Now you can do and do for God. And they charm people away and people follow this. Don't be charmed away, people. I couldn't do it here. I'm not going to be able to do it here. God did not create a creature independent of himself. I'm still totally dependent on him by faith. Now let's take a look at this. Now that I'm justified by faith in Jesus Christ, now what I live the way I exist daily, living day in and day out, I now live, and here we have the word live, day in and day out in my life. I live in the flesh, that is, in my body, in my physical body. Flesh here doesn't refer to the sin nature, just refers to my physical body. Simply living on earth as a born-again believer, as a new spiritual creature in this physical body. Peter's justified by faith, but living in the flesh, and he's trying to have the flesh do its works. And it isn't going to work. But Paul is saying is here now, the life which I now live in the flesh, okay? What does he say about how he lives? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Now, here Jesus Christ is called the Son of God. I want to just take care of this. This isn't part of our flow of our study, but I don't want to miss it. He is the Son of God. Delivered himself up, that's his humanity. He offered himself up on the cross for us. He took my place on the cross for my benefit. And that's why I'm justified simply by believing him. What I am concerned with is right here in verse 20, how we're going to live as a believer. How we're going to live now that we're justified. The New American Standard says, is here, I live by faith in the Son of God. The original text does not say that. It does not say faith in the Son of God. Okay, are you pulling one on us, Herman? Does anybody happen to have the King James? Every now and then, the thundering King James comes through. Does anybody have it? Do you have it, John? King James? Is that the King James Version? Anybody? Okay, let me read for you what King James says. Oh, you got it. Okay. No, you read it. Read verse 20 for us in King James. Chapter 2, verse 20. What the NASB and the NIV both are wrong here. They do not translate this correctly. And to give you my best clue, I looked around at some other translations, and lo and behold, the old King James has it pretty close as to following the grammar. You got it now, John? Okay. Okay, now read loud here. Start right there again, and the life, and read it loudly. Yours says in? You shouldn't have. Well, a long time ago. Yeah. When I did this, see, I did this years and years ago. No, this is not correct. It, the way he was going to read it is correct. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Woo! What is going on? The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Okay, let's take a look what we've got going on here. This is important. It doesn't say, we don't have, right here, this word here, I live by faith in the Son of God, or here, actually, in the Son of God, right here. There's no preposition in, which will be translated in. The Greek says, and what now I live, this is beautiful. I want you to see this. And what now I live in flesh, watch this, in faith I live. What now I live in this body, in faith I live. Now let me continue. Of the Son of God who loved me. Of the Son of God who loved me. Now, what we have to do, take this, goes with this. The faith of the Son of God. I'm going to live by the same faith that He lived by. The life that I now live in the flesh, now that I am justified, I live that life in faith. And that faith is directed to me from the same faith as that of the Son of God, that of Jesus Christ. This is much closer to what we're dealing with the truth here. Question, what was the faith of Jesus Christ? We've already studied this in other studies. His faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, in His humanity, the humanity of Jesus Christ, who did the humanity of Jesus Christ, who did He trust in His walking through His life? Holy Spirit, thank you very much. The Holy Spirit. And you get to live that same way. We've already seen this in love. We're going to have His love. How do we get His love? If He got it from His deity, we couldn't do it. If He did it by His perfect humanity, we couldn't do it. But He got His love from the Holy Spirit. Now I can love just like Christ loved because I have the same Holy Spirit. What was the faith of Jesus Christ? His faith was in the Holy Spirit. And now Paul lived by that same faith. Christ is always the pattern. I'm now going to live by the same faith, by the same faith that Jesus Christ had. It took me a long time working through this, almost 3 hours. I looked up all the lexicons, all the grammars, not so much lexicons, all the grammars I had. I mean, trying to figure out what's going on. I won't even go through with you how this looks in Greek. And how you have to put together, all the things and, the feminines and the masculines and have everything linked with everything and how it all works out in, some of the major grammars. Two or three pages are devoted to this. Two or three pages. I'm not going to take you through all that. That's why I wanted to read the King James, so at least you know I'm not pulling your leg here. That it really does say, I'm going to live the life I live. I'm going to live by the same faith as the Son of God. What was the faith of the Son of God? What was the faith of the humanity of Jesus Christ? Faith in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to live by the same faith that my Savior lived by. This is powerful, people. I'm going to live by the same faith in the same person that Jesus Christ lived by. And therefore, chapter 3 begins with the study of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 3 is going to be, he's now going to bring into big form the Holy Spirit and start doing a long discussion, and it's going to bring to a crescendo in chapter 5 where we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Don't you try to get love, peace, joy, all those wonderful things. They're by the Holy Spirit. They're not going to be by your obedience. They're going to be by your trusting the Holy Spirit and walk the same way that Jesus Christ walked. So, the life I live in the flesh, in faith I live it. And now just, that's probably the main thing. The life that I now live in this body, the life I now live in this body, in faith, I'm going to live it. That's what we have going on. I'm going to live this life by faith. People, it's over and over and over. Don't transfer. Don't go from being saved by grace and faith and then want to go over and do for God. No, no, no. Just stay with it. Stay with how you were saved. And that's what Paul is telling Peter here. This is the way I'm going to do it, the same way that Jesus Christ did it. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, deity, born in humanity, died on a cross. And I'm going to live by the same faith that he did. He died, went up to heaven, then he gave to us the same Holy Spirit he had for us to walk by. This is how we're going to live a justified life, by the same faith that Jesus Christ, our Savior, walked by. Why do I want to live? Now listen as we close. Why do I want to live by the same faith that Jesus Christ lived by? Why do I want to live by that same faith? Look at the next verse. We'll finish this up Sunday morning, but look at the next verse and you'll see. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, the first of this verse, I have been crucified with Christ, but Christ lives in me. Let's see, the end of it. The Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Why do I want to walk by the same faith, people? So that I can have the same love that Jesus Christ had to cause him to die for me. This is powerful, and I messed it up by not finding the verse right away. Why do I want the same faith Christ had? Because I want the same love that he had, and the ending of the verse points it out, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I want that kind of love that I'll deliver myself up for another believer so they can continue to be reconciled with God, restored to him, and fulfill their plan and God's plan for their life. I want that kind of love. Most Christians want to judge, malign, separate, set you aside, kick you, all these things. But I look at the love of my Savior, and I see a love that laid down his life, that man might be reconciled to God. And then I bring to mind passages by John, and John, 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for the brethren. How can I lay down my life for a brother who has sinned against me, hurt me, wronged me? How can I lay down my life for them if I have the same love that he did, because he did it for his enemies? That's why I want to walk by that same faith, people. Don't go. Don't be charmed to doing something as nice as it may sound and as wonderful as the voice that says it. Stay with the gospel. Stay with what you want. I want to be like Christ. What are you saying when you say that? I want to love the way he did. Be sure you mean that, because it cost him his life on a shameful cross. Be sure you mean it. But if that is what you want, you really desire to be like Christ, to love like he did, to walk by the same faith he did, trust in the third member of the Godhead. Closing the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, when we just contemplate the love of Jesus Christ, we're overwhelmed by it. And to think that we can have that same love manifest your grace and your love. We praise you, Father, for your wonderful plan. In Christ's name, amen. David, do we have a moment left on the tape? Nope? Yes. Please turn in closing to 2 Corinthians. I have to do this now. The scene is set apart. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I can't come back to this Sunday morning. It's lost from where we are right now. 2 Corinthians 5:14. I want to have the same faith that Jesus Christ has because I want to love as he loved. 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul makes this so emphatic in such a beautiful phrase. Let's take a look at it. He says, "For the love of Christ controls us." Now what that means is Christ's love for me controls me. But note what happens before it does. Having concluded this, the conclusion comes before being controlled by this love. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. What he's talking about in verse 14, I've contemplated this love, and I am so controlled by it. See, instead of being controlled by law, we want to be controlled and compelled by this love. We've used the word compel in Galatians 1 and 2 already, how the legalists and law people compel us to do their system. Once you comprehend the love of Christ, people, it's going to so compel you, I want to do that love. I am so compelled by, and what is that love? It died for me. It gave itself up for me. That's the way I want to. How am I going to do that? By my not living, but him living. Look at verse 15. And he who died for all, that they who live, resurrection, should no longer live for themselves, but live for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him this way no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, justification by faith, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. What is a new thing? New way of living. Just live by faith. Walk by faith the same way that you were saved. Thank you, and we'll begin here on Sunday morning.